The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A leper came to Jesus and, kneeling down, begged him and said to him, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, he touched him, and he said to him, "I do will it, be made clean." And the leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once, saying to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed, and that will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in a deserted place, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This Gospel text which we have today, Jesus healing the leper and touching the leper, was very important in the early church. It appears in all three synoptic Gospels. It's in chapter 8 in Matthew. We're reading here from the opening chapter in Mark, and it's in chapter 5 in Luke. So this was clearly a very important teaching moment in the early apostolic church. Let me deal with some background before we come to look at the moment and the text of the gospel. Speaking about ecclesiology is the faith, the prayer, and the practice in a faith community, like Holy Family Parish, has an ecclesiology. And the ecclesiology of this community was formed by the people. An ecclesiology of welcome, of inclusion, of celebration, of gratitude. Now, various other parishes have their own ecclesiology. Some are more traditional and some are less traditional. One is not better than the other, they're just different. And if you travel around the various places and look at various parishes, you will see a distinct difference one from the other. And yet we all belong to the great community of the Catholic Church. It's kind of like a pluribus unum. There are many variations of how to interpret the Word of God, and Holy Family has its own unique statement about how to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are two books which are of interest to us in our conversation today. The first book is a very large book. It's the Code of Canon Law. And the Code of Canon Law has 1,752 canons, various laws governing the life of the church. It's a very large volume. It was first shaped in 1918 by a famous fellow, Cardinal Gasparri. It was renewed in 1983, updated and affirmed and published during the time of John Paul II. Law is very important. We need laws. Without laws, you have chaos. In a simple form, laws are meant to create order. So we have red lights and green lights. If you don't have some sense of law and process, you will have social chaos. You must stop when it's red, and you can go when it's green. Having said that, if you deify the law, you create a different kind of chaos. If you say you can never go through a red light, well, then I have a fire truck or have an ambulance with somebody in crisis. But you can't go through a red light because we have deified the law. Then you create a different kind of chaos. And while the law is necessary and needs to be respected, it cannot be deified. That's the book of law. And then we have the book of love, also a large volume. And when we proclaim the word of God here, we say, this is the word of the Lord. And therefore, the book of law has to somehow reflect the book of love. It cannot be separate. In a community of faith, the law must somehow be an extension, subject to the word of God. Can we deify the word of God? Yes. This is God's word. And therefore, in the last analysis, we are to be led by the word of God. And somehow, fulfilling the word of God, the law will fall into place. And this is the word of God of compassion and forgiveness and inclusion, the word of God that blesses people, encourages people, heals and gives life. That's the word of God. And in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, I have come not to abolish the law, but to bring it to perfection. And though he will go on to say, therefore, forgive not 7 times, 70 times 7 times. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you. That's the living word. Go the extra mile. Turn the other cheek. Give the shirt off your back. All of this appears in Matthew's Gospel, in that long section, chapter 5 to 7, we call the Sermon on the Mount. Must that be the ultimate statement of who we are? Must that be the law which we must invoke and which we must follow? Therefore, surely we have to believe that the word takes precedence over any law, and the laws are meant to be an extension or a reflection of the word of God. That's our belief. That's the way we live. That's the way a community is formed. And therefore, when you get to the gospel today, you have Jesus. Not only does he heal, he restores community. He brings the leper back into the community. The healing Christ not only restores the person who is carrying the infirmity, but also heals the community. But what's interesting in this gospel reading is Jesus touches the leper. According to the Levitical law mentioned in our first reading from the book of Leviticus, and it also appears in the book of Numbers, in the Torah, the 5 books of the Torah, 2 books deal with law, Leviticus and Numbers. And in there, there's all sorts of detail about leprosy and how to respond to leprosy, what the community should do, and how somehow it's God's plan to follow the Levitical law. Now, Jesus knew the Torah. Jesus was an observant Jew, very familiar with the Torah, and yet he does not observe the Levitical law. He allows the leper to come to him. The leper already broke the law in coming to Jesus. And once Jesus touched him, he too became unclean. And therefore, he couldn't enter the towns. He was outside in deserted places by himself, and people kept coming to him. That's what our gospel tells us. He is rendered unclean. And yet, devout Jew, observant Jew that Jesus was, he ignores certain parts of the Levitical law. He has come to refresh, to renew, and to understand the law in a new way. Keep that in mind. That's the essence of this gospel here. There's a greater law proclaimed by Jesus Christ than the Levitical law. He's bringing it to completion. And somehow, that's the law which must guide us. We can't deify the canonical law, since it's merely a reflection of the Word of God, the proclamation of Jesus Christ. So it's the law of Christ and the proclamation of Jesus Christ that must be our ultimate statement in the following of the Lord in discipleship. What does this mean to us in practice? Well, occasionally I meet people, and you do, that say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I often wondered what that means. Some people will say, well, he's just too lazy to go to church. He wants to be spiritual on his own terms, but he doesn't want to be religious. When we speak about the terms religious and spiritual, frequently, but not in a theological definition, but frequently in our conversation, when we speak about somebody being religious, we speak about institutional language, that the person belongs to a church, belongs to a community of faith, has certain beliefs, and is involved in various ritual practices, going to Mass or going to the temple or going to the mosque, whatever it is. The person is religious, follows a certain way of life, governed by the canons of the community to which the person belongs. And sometimes religion can be overbearing, legalistic. It can canonize the law so much that it will exclude people that the living Word of God would include. There's also a danger that the power of the institution becomes so dominant that somehow we exclude people who yearn to belong. The spiritual person, sometimes it's a kind of a wandering person over here. They're unattached, but they're spiritual. They have this deep sense of a spiritual awareness. Young people will sometimes tell me, I meet God in the mountains and in nature and in the rivers. I meet God in the sky, in the rising of the sun, in the setting of... That's where I meet God. I'm a spiritual person, but I don't belong to any community. In some ways, I've thought to myself, the institution represents the body. The spiritual deals with soul language. The body without the soul is dead. Unless the body has a dominant spirituality drawn from the Word of God, unless the body is infused with a spirituality, relationship with Jesus Christ, the body is dead. On life support, ready to die. On the other hand, the spiritual person over here, deep down, we are made for community. We are made for relationships. That's part of creation. We are made to belong. And somehow the spiritual person needs to find the body so that we have the fullness of reality, the body and the soul together. The soul belonging and enriching and giving life to the body, the spirituality. And the body giving community and a venue and a belonging to the wandering soul. Somewhere we have to find the place where the body is alive in spirituality. Jesus Christ is alive in the body. I know this because the Word of God comes to life in the community in which I find myself. We need to belong. In a recent book by Pope Francis entitled Let Us Dream, very lovely spiritual reflection, a lengthy reflection by the Pope, he said, in this time of COVID, we have communication, but we're missing contact. We need contact. We need to belong. We need to touch, to feel, to sense. Children need to go to school because they need not just communication, but they need contact. We all need contact. We all need to belong, to feel important. We need to be hugged. We need to be affirmed. It's one of the wonderful things about Holy Family. Not only was there communication here before the virus, and it will come back, but we had contact. People knew one another. They called one another by name. They hugged one another after the 9:30 Mass. When we come together for the Our Father at this Mass, in this community, everybody came together as one people, bonded in community and celebrating the soul of the church. It's a wonderful moment. I've had many people come here and say, I was away from the church for a long time. I felt that maybe God hadn't forgiven me. And then I came to the 9:30 Mass and I got caught up in this living community, joining hands for the Our Father. And all of a sudden I felt I am home. There was a wonderful good friend of mine. I used to play golf with him years ago. He died since. And he was not a religious man. He was not a Catholic. And we played a lot of golf together. And his spirituality was marginal. It was somehow attached to golf. That was, and I said to him once, Bill, don't you ever go to church on Sunday? And his response was, let me tell you, on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, I have a tee off time every Sunday at my club. And on Sunday morning, I know where God is and God knows where I am. And that's enough. Well, when he wasn't very old, actually, he got stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And our conversation changed. Now, we weren't talking about golf anymore. Now we were talking about spiritual things. and talking about spiritual things on his way to his death, he decided he wanted to belong to a community. So he became a Catholic before he died. Not only did he have a spirituality now, he wanted to belong to a community when he died, somehow. Like Oscar Wilde famously said, the Catholic Church is the best church to die in. Somehow they have rituals, prayers, touching, feeling, belonging. So when we come to look at this gospel, we need the soul. We need the soul and we need the body. We need the whole person. A church without relationship with Jesus Christ is dead. A church not guided by the Word of God and nourished by the Eucharist is not alive. I mean, in the Catholic tradition, many other traditions will find the Word sufficient to bring them alive and create community. This is true in a church. It's true in a marriage. If you don't have a relationship in a marriage, the law will not supply. In a family, you may have some rules and you may have some expectations, you may have some laws about your family, but unless you have a relationship, the law will not supply. So listen to the Word of God. It's the Word of God that brings us together here on Sundays. Listening to the Word of God that says, go the extra mile, give the shirt off your back, bless those who persecute you, pray for those who are an impediment for you in your life. Forgive, not 7 times. Forgive 70 times 7 times. Be free, be alive. In a church, in a marriage, in a family, be fully alive in the Word of God. Speaking about parish, the word parish comes from a Greek word, paroikos. And interestingly, it means visitor. Paroikos means visitor. And in some ways, I thought to myself, we're all visitors. We're all wandering, looking for a place of welcome. We're looking for a place to belong, a place where our humanity will be sufficient, not perfection, not the law, but the relationship. We're looking for a place where Jesus Christ will come alive. I will experience not just communication, but contact. I need contact with Jesus Christ. I need contact in my family, in my relationships. That's the teaching of this parable. Jesus sets the law aside and he touches the leper. When Jesus touches the leper, he is healed of his leprosy and he is welcomed into the community. He belongs. In some ways, we're all yearning to belong. And especially during this time of the virus, what we miss the most is to belong in a full way, to show up together, to hug one another, to greet one another, to celebrate God's presence in our relationships. Keep that alive in your family. Keep that alive in your marriage, in your relationships. If the relationship is wounded, the law will not supply. Amen.